Today my message is going to be very short. I hope it is short. I see the notes is too long. We'll summarize it, okay? We'll summarize the message today, right? We'll summarize the message. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, even as I speak, Lord, let the word come from you, not from man. And I pray, Lord Jesus, even this time, I dedicate my mind, my lips, and my tongue and voice to you, Lord. That everything of Father God comes out through you, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, it will, Lord, to build, not to destroy. But I pray for, Lord, every word that comes, Lord, is to, Lord, to raise people up into the callings they have called. In Jesus' name, I pray. Let's turn to 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 to 29. We talked about leadership. Today I'm talking about leadership. Don't think that leadership, when you talk about it, is only, this one is all for the pastors, for the deacons, for the elders and everybody else. But it's not only for the elders and deacons. When you get married, we are talking about families. When you get married, I did say about 2 weeks ago, in Ephesians, they leave their parents and come together as husband and wife. They become one. In leadership, God is called the first church to have the leadership first. So man is called to be the head of the family. I did preach to you about family last 2 weeks ago. And I believe last week I was told, Brian did a very good job by Lord speaking through him. It's not him, but the Lord speaking through him about what God has put in the families. And I pray how to administer families. Now, God has put, first of all, he says, when he put together families together, we talked about a former message I talked about 2 weeks ago. He said, God has put together families for a purpose to serve one another so that we can be bonded together. Families will be bonded together. So we also talked about the characteristics of a father, characteristics of a mother, who is the head of the family. That is the Hebraic anointing when the family is called. When you go away from yourself, if Joseph went away from his parents' house, and he waited for the time. He bought his house. And then he brought Mary along to wed with her. So that was a responsibility in the family. There's always a responsibility that a man has got. That responsibility is guided by God. Because God is the head of every family. Amen. Jesus is the head of every family. So he is guided by him. So unless a man stands where he is, like I did tell you, if a man wears his pants, the ladies won't wear their pants. They will wear, I'm not saying they will go around without pants, but they will wear the dresses they are wearing. Okay? So, we have got to stand the position we have to do. The next thing we have to understand today as I speak today is leadership means it is not, people say, this pastor is speaking about leadership in the church, Unila, in another thing. Leadership is not in the church alone. Leadership starts from the family. You are discipling, disciple to disciple from the family. If you are discipling, if the leadership in the family is not right, then the leadership in wherever you go, you'll not be right. Because you'll still continue to have that problems that you have been carrying in your life, the burden that you've been carrying in life, that a father was not a good leadership, and a mother is not a good leader. At the end of the day, you'll find you'll behave the same way that you are behaving, your parents behave. Because the leadership is not transplanted to others. Unless it's photocopied. You know what's a photocopy, isn't it? The original come from the great-grandfather. You know what a great-grandfather does not? Especially Indians and Chinese. But I told you to go and make coffee. Why didn't you come in? I've been waiting for 1 hour, half an hour now. No coffee for me. Go and make coffee. The woman, yes, yes, my darling. No, cannot call darling most of the time. Yes, husband. You're not being a slave. Of course, the word of God says slave. Slave means a lot of meanings. I'll talk to you about it a little later. But you see, the understanding of a family is important. That's how they behave. That's how we behave. So it's a photocopy. How the father was like, right? Originating, how his tradition was like. Yesterday in leadership we talked about traditions, how we talked about even culture. The culture will be also photocopied into the generations to come. So yesterday, the photocopy of the attitude of the father, the great-grandfather, is photocopied to the father and the mother. And then the mother photocopied to you. So you are just a photocopy of that person. And then after that, another photocopy. No wonder they say, you look like a father, lah. You look like a mother, lah. So photocopy, isn't it? Not only in the looks, but the attitude also will be the same. So families has got to be the first one. They said, no, the church is not right. The pastor is not right. Everybody else is not right. You can point fingers to everyone else. The government is not right. Let's look at the family government that you have in your family. Let's look at the family government. I grew up from a family. I did tell you about myself. I did tell you about a lot of things during my messages. I exposed myself because not I want to be. I'm nobody. But that was in the farmer's life and I know how it was like. So in the same way, if you want to come out of that, you must have a different mindset. You must have the belief, shaking away of the things which is not right. In a tree, there will be a lot of fruits. Some fruits are bad. Do you think that some fruits are bad? Hello? When you go to a tree, you know, you see a lot of fruits there. You see some fruits are eaten up by some parrots or even some, today there are a lot of squirrels and so many animals. Sometimes people like James go up there and eat like a squirrel and come out stealing fruits. Okay. All those things there. So what to do is that to take out the fruits, the bad fruits, you just check the tree, the bad fruits will fall down, the good fruits will stay there. Is that right? Overripe fruits all will fall down. You will still stay there. So you must have that fruits. The fruits of that, we cannot be that person that we are. Unless and until as a tree, we are a new grown tree now from the seed of our parents. And it's been on and on and on from one tree to another tree, planted. Now we have to shake that those things, the bad fruits that we have, the attitudes that we have. Unless we check that, we cannot become a leader in a Christly like. I did tell yesterday about leadership yesterday. There is the first Adam, the second Adam. The first Adam did wrong and the second Adam came. But the second Adam restored us back to the first Adam position. What God created us. Is that right? God created to fellowship with us. And we are supposed to honor Him. So He has created. In this gap, time gap, from the first Adam to the second Adam, there are so many garbage we carried in our life. For generation after generation. This garbage has been washed off. That is why the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful ever detergent you can ever find. Right? You cannot find one like that. No scientist can come up like that. Right? You just put one drop of it, entire generation, all those things you carried out, goes away. One drop. We don't need a whole pail of detergent. Just one drop. Or even one tiny dot of it. Just drop on us. That's it. Everything is clean. That is why we talk about new life. Let's look at Colossians. So today I'm not talking about only, people think, oh, pastor is now going to talk about, I don't know what this old man is trying to do. Every time talk about leadership, this thing, that thing, all. But let's look at, leadership is not only for the church, it's from the house. It should start from the house. So let's not blame somebody here, there, and everybody else. But let's look at how our family, we behave our family. I'm speaking to my life. I told you I'm not a perfect man. I told you that my life was not right. I have my own problems too. Alright? I have my three sons. I have problems. Three different sons, three different problems. You have three sons, you will tell me what is it like. When they are young, you know what happens? Everything in the house will be destroyed. Right now, how many of you got sons here? Three sons. Especially when they know how to play football and cricket. Everything is a football. Everything is a cricket. Right? So you'll find it difficult. So different attitude. So I'm speaking not only to you, brothers and sisters. Don't think that I'm pointing fingers. I'm also speaking to my life. We are supposed to be educated every day in our life. Every day we grow. So in the church, we have to have a leadership attitude of Christ Jesus. Okay? So keep time watch, please. If I go off, I'll continue somewhere else. I'll summarize. The problem with me is I get carried off. Let's go to Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 24 to 29. Let's read. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which was been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The NIV talks about two different words here. I'll just talk about two different words. Then we'll go on, okay? If you look at that verse 25, in NIV will say commission. Right? NIV will say minister means a servant. According to the stewardship, they will say commission. Commissioning. Now, let's look at what Paul says. In the first verse itself, it looks very awkward. Odd. You know, it's very odd. Because he's, either he's boasting, is he boasting? He says, he's filling up the flesh of his flesh, right? He's filling up his flesh with afflictions which Christ did not fulfill yet. Is that right what he's saying? Hello? If you read that, you'll feel that that is what he says. He's not boasting about himself. If you look at the preceding verses from verse 9 on 19 onwards, he's talking about the afflictions Jesus came and the perfection Jesus brought unto our life. Are you with me? Are you with me so far? Now, the first thing that we learn from this man, Paul, is about something that he's talking about is a life that is different, a leadership to be an effective Christian leadership in a church or in a family or in an outside world or in any ministry God gives you has got to be a Christian leader who is willing to pay the price. Must pay a price. There's a price that you have to pay for everything. I have to pay a price in my life to become a pastor. There's a price that we pay whenever your ministry is. When you pay, when you take a family, there's a price to be. You will be wondering, why is this man saying, Paul says that he rejoices, was suffered for you. And he says he suffers for you. And then after that, he says that, no, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. And, sorry, I think I took it. Yeah, that's right. Suffering for you. Fill up in my flesh, in his flesh, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of the body of Christ. That is you. Jesus has suffered everything else. He's done everything else. He has already done. What is he saying? What is he saying? Paul realizes now, when Jesus has already called you, it doesn't mean to say he has promised you garden of roses. We look at the rose, but we don't see the thorns. You touch the rose, you'll be torn by the thorns. You go to a garden of rose, and you find you move around, everywhere thorns. How many of you have been to a garden of rose? I asked you last week also, right? Go to Cameron Islands. A little bit wild, you know. So you don't have any path much. You walk through a small path like that. And the guy says, ay-ya, ay-ya, everywhere thorn. But the roses are so beautiful. The work of Christ is like a growth of garden, looks like. But remember, there are thorns hidden. That thorn is the one which makes us suffer. There's a suffering you have to get to that glory of God. That Jesus has not done for you. He has done everything for you. In the ministry, in the calling as a father and a mother, even as a pastor or a fivefold ministry, or in anything that you do as a leadership, there is a small suffering that you have got to go through. You have to pay that price. He didn't say that, no, I'm boasting now, I'm filling up because of you all Gentiles, I'm filling up with myself with all the things. I have to suffer more what Jesus did not suffer for. Jesus has completed everything else. But till today, Jesus says, you carry the cross and come with me. This is the cross we have to carry. The crosses that we have to carry many times is the suffering that we do in so that we can preach the gospel to the people. Amen? We have to preach the gospel. He's not saying he's the best person in the world. The statement itself is very awkward. It's afflictions, you know? And he says, but his affliction, Christ, he did say, it is not that Christ's death on the cross did not complete everything. He complete. It's nothing. Nothing is like that. It's perfect death. Perfect crucifixion. Perfect sins were all taken away. Perfect death and death. He died and rose again. But Paul realizes that he is the suffering that he is going through. He's expressing his reality, what he's going through. When you follow Christ, doesn't mean to say you don't have any more suffering in your life. When Jesus said, I promise you eternity has got to come. Why the suffering that we go through is sometimes you have to die to ourselves. What do we die? When we die means it's not dying of things of yourself, but dying to the things that we have accumulated from the first Adam until the second Adam. The habits, the things that we've been used to, in the lives that we have to, the words that we use, the things that we have in our heart, the things that we heard from our parents, things that we have heard from our grandparents. Right? Some of you are cursed. So when some people are cursed by somebody, that is also in your mind. So when it's a reaction of somebody else, also we can curse. So all these are things we have got created. The habits. We have to crucify that. That is the suffering we are going through. When we crucify that, there is death in our flesh. There is pain in our flesh. Do you follow what I'm saying? Hello, are you with me? You all look much more serious than Mila. Right? So the flesh has to die. So he said, he put into his flesh a lot of things, that suffering, so that he will be able to focus on Christ. If he doesn't have the suffering, if it is so good, if everything is so good, it's swim sailing, wow, oh, scenery very nice, la, everything is nice. No, we went to Sarawak, you know. You, please wait afterwards. After everybody has come, there'll be two testimony about Sarawak trip, mission trip. Wow, looks nice, la. Oh, the houses, long houses, modern houses, la. You go to the toilet. Somebody said it's very bad. It's good. Everything is good. But their lifestyle is simple lifestyle. With suffering, they have their own suffering too. Don't think that they don't have sufferings. They have their own suffering too. They have their own challenges too in their life. There is no one in this world can say, I don't have suffering when I'm following Christ Jesus. When I'm doing ministry to somebody else, there's no suffering. There is always some suffering. He filled a lot of sufferings. His sufferings were so many that he can even count it to you all. And he said so many things about his sufferings. All these afflictions he went through, Paul is saying here that he is a price. There is a price to pay to lead. He was a leader. He was the one leading. If you look at the mission trip of Jesus, of Paul, Paul will find the first mission trip, second mission trip, the third mission trip was a prisoner relationship. So you'll find that his mission trips are all like a painful one. It was not rosy. Right? He accounts to us in the way he says it to us, no? Very nicely he says it to me. You can recall back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at the verses. It's very nice. To summarize, he says, verse 11, 22 to 30. Can somebody put it up here? Can you put it up? Verse 11, 22 to 13. Chapter 11, verse 22 to 13. He talks about all those sufferings he went through. The suffering he went through is about 5 times received from the Jews, the slashes on his body. 5 times received, minus 40 times received, but minus 1. So 39 times he was slashed by the Jews. 5 times. Not 1 time, 5 times the Jews slashed him. He also talks about, you know, 3 times beaten with rods. He also talks about once he was stoned. He also talks about 3 times shipwrecked. Spent night and day in open sea. He was naked. He was hungry. He did all those things. Why? Why? One. The first trouble he went through so many things. Overwhelming, he identifies his overwhelming physical things that he went through just to preach the gospel. Physically, he went through so much. Just to preach the gospel, the good news to the Lord, of the Lord. Even till today, we are sitting in an air-conditioned room and we are enjoying the air-condition and listening to the message here, and it's all audio, you can hear. But there are people, till today, suffering in many countries, persecution. There is so much of physical persecutions. In Iran, there was a long-standing pastor who was arrested for apostasy. Last week, he was supposed to be hanged for apostasy in Iran. And somehow or other, they have delayed it now. Remember last year, we also prayed. I don't know whether you still remember. The 2 girls were actually arrested because they were Christians. They accepted Christ. And they were released last year, March. I remember that very clearly. We started praying for the 2 girls in the prison. And today we are still praying for this man in Iran who is in the prison, a pastor, because he accepted Christ. He's in the prison now. But in the prison, I believe he's doing something for the glory of God. I believe that he's doing something for the glory of God. That he will be the light. That he'll be able to shine out to those people in the prisons. He'll touch people's lives there. We pray. There are many people who are persecuted. There are churches being burned. In India, Gospel of Asia always sends me a message saying that, pray for this pastor, this small village. They were persecuted. He beaten up. The wife was raped. We are sitting in an air-conditioned room, brothers and sisters. Confined. Security is very good. Audio. They have to whisper the gospel. They have to whisper the gospel. So Paul is now trying to identify with us today as a leader, as a person who is in the leadership of whether it's a family, whether it's in the church, wherever you are, there's a price you'll pay physically in the time of even serving God, being righteous. Being righteous before God. There'll be time that you'll be persecuted. You'll be put into places where you don't like. But God prevails in everything else. And we are comfortable because we thank God for the peace we have in this nation. There was one small little bit of fire in one church. And you can see the whole nation was on the church. Eyes were on the church. From the Christian fraternity, the government, everybody else, the eyes was there. We are blessed. And I want to tell you this. In Alogaja, where I come from, that's my hometown, Alogaja. And the end of Alogaja, Simpang Ampat, there is a hill. You'll see a lot of tribes there. People from the aborigines in that land. It's already now, last year, September, the chapel which was built was supposed to be brought down. The pastor who was pastoring there, the aborigines stood by and said, no, we don't want this chapel to be done. There is a case going on now. And I don't know whether the judge will be for us or for the others. Melaka is the state where, I boldly speak here, Melaka was the state where Christianity came in to this nation. Melaka is the state where the Quran too came into that land. Where the king of the land first converted to become Muslim. It's precious. So much so, all of us Malaykans have come out of Malacca, left alone. It's now being inflated to so many people who are there who do not believe in Christ much. And the little people who have, the aborigines and all those people who have, some of them worship idol ways, and the worldly ways, but the spirit is not moving. In this chapel, in this place, the small little church where they gather together, you see the power of the Holy Spirit working. And any time now, this month, the month of March, the decision to bring that down, the church, where the people gather together, is in the hands of God. So you tell me there is no suffering? We went to Solo. We were preaching in another town. The place I was supposed to preach in this church, and the church is not very far away. It's only about 5 kilometers away from the church I'm supposed to preach. The pastor will come here, Pastor Abednego, next month. You'll find that he, you know, from there, it's a very little distance, the church was bombed immediately after the service. Not during the service, after the service. They were going out, that guy bombed. Self-destruction. Suicidal bomb. You tell me there's no persecution? You ask me why God is doing that? Only God knows for His glory. Amen? Our body, entire physical body, is for the glory of God. Don't you know your body is the temple of God? He can destroy, He can lift it up. It's in His hands. He will be used for the glory of God, not for the glory of the evil one. So we must protect our body from the flesh. Amen? Praise God. So we have covered that, so I'm faster now. Second thing he went through is, you'll also see, he also went through antagonism among the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 11:22-32, you'll find, he went through antagonism from the Gentiles he was preaching to. So people, when you rise up, the people outside in our life, when you can speak about God, the way you live, no, I'm a Christian, I know, you don't even tell them, no, I don't agree with this, I don't want to follow this. When you tell them, there'll be antagonism among the people outside. Alright? When a policeman asked me money for, because I really, it's my fault, I was on the phone, he asked me, you know, you have to go to court, you know, you have to go long process, you have to wait and everything, you know, your when you go to court, you know, by the time you finish everything else, you'll spend more money. So, macam mana sekarang? Macam mana? Either settle or saman. So, you see, when you say saman, ayah, you mau pergi kau, you know, he will try to convince you. You want to go or not to court? Do you have the time to go? Where are you from? Oh, you're from KL. Oh, this is Sramban, you know. So you have to come to Sramban court, you know. You cannot go to KL court. So there is also another justification. He's trying to justify that I will take trouble paying my going to court. So the best is to take the summon, go and see the police officer. I've done mistake. If they give you a discount, it's fine. If they don't give you a discount, pay it and come. Because you know, it's our fault. I know I was not supposed to be on the phone, on the highway. And I was caught. Alright? So it was my fault that I know, and I was going to preach. So if I was settled with him, my preaching will not be validated by God. Alright? So God has got to be understanding. So, you know, antagonism will come against us when we stand righteous. We walk the right life of Christ as a leader. As a leader, we want to be an example. Our family too will be antagonized. Our people will be antagonized. Our leadership in the family will be antagonized. And people around you, that is also you have to wait away from that. So antagonism, not only he suffers from physical, bodily, for Christ, for the gospel, for the way that he lives righteously, He is being antagonized by the Gentiles and the people around. Read, go back and read. I don't have much time to read that. So you'll find the third thing he talked about is that he also felt that there were a lot of people who rose up against him in the church. There were people who were false teachers. I want you to go back and read that passage. You'll understand what I'm saying now today. He talked about even not only physical, but he talked about people who rose up against him. There were false teachers teaching. What he was teaching is different from what the false teachers were teaching. So is it sounds familiar? It sounds familiar to me because there are a lot of teachings that I don't agree with. If it's not from gospel, we cannot be lenient on the word of God. We can never be lenient with the word of God because word of God is to build. So if we are too lenient with the word of God, then our life is to be compromising of the world. And I think Sister Brother Raymond and Sister JNT can testify that. I did not know. The Lord was very powerful in Sarawak. And they said I was very strong. The word that came out was very strong. And I, when somebody said it was very strong, and I went down on the knees, Lord, was I speaking in my pride? What did I speak? The Lord didn't answer me at all. And I asked him, Lord, is it that I've done something wrong? If I've said something wrong, please help me. Forgive me. He didn't keep quiet. The last word, the third day, is this. Didn't I ask you to speak? You gave your mind and your lips to me. I used it. It doesn't matter what you said. It matters to me. Man. What you see, you speak. What you hear, you speak. That's what we have to do. As servants of God, as people, as a family, as a leader of a church, of our family, we have to see what Jesus did and we have to do. So otherwise we are not giving a photocopy of Jesus Christ's life, our attitude, but we're giving a photocopy of our fallen away nature. Hello? Do you get what I'm saying? Are you with me? Don't be so serious, la. Alright? We are not supposed to photocopy the things. Photocopy the things attitude. So he went through this problem of even people rising up in the churches wherever he went. He went to Ephesus, he has problem. He go to Corinth, he has got problem. He go to Colossians, he's got problem. That is why he's saying he's very strong with Colossians or Corinthians. He was very, very strong with Colossians, Corinthians. He said, look, I have suffered all this. For what? The way he said, for what? For the gospel to be preached. Right? Amen. Amen. So we can have problems. There are people who are suffering outside. Remember this. Remember, we are sitting in air condition. There are people who are suffering outside, preaching the word of God. There are people who are going through persecution. There are people being raped. There are people who have been, children being raped, or even the daughters being raped, or even the wife being raped. There are people who have been smashed, who have been beaten up, who have been even kicked, or even murdered. Because of the gospel. That is why, in Revelation he says, wait till my martyrs. Martyrs, the blood is crying out for him. He said, wait. When my blood is, every all the martyrs are up here, I will know what to deal with them. Very strong. You go back and see Revelation. You read, your heart should be shivering. What Revelation says. So number one is to be a leader, a Christian leader. You must be now effectively, an effective Christian leader has got, is willing to pay a price for being a Christian. Being a leader, a Christian life leader, or leading a Christian life in a family as a leader. Second thing, effective leader have a servant and obedient mentality. Effective leader must have a servant and obedient mentality. Verse 25 says this, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, what do you mean minister? Minister means, it's actually, he says, minister is a servant. A servant, a commission to be a servant. NIV version or some other version, expanded version will say, it's a servant. But minister means actually it's a servant. Alright? He serve him. To minister to him. Right? To minister to him, to minister to people. Second thing he says, and he talks about the word, he says, you know, is stewardship. It's according to his commission or his dispensation of his authority or administration. He gives you authority and authority. So he became a servant. He became a servant. He must have a servant heart. According to the stewardship or dispensation or commission of Jesus Christ from God himself. For a purpose. So he has got to have a servant heart. He was a servant all the time. He didn't rise up in boastfulness. He didn't rise up in anything that he went against. In all his life you will find there was a times that, you know, there are times he was really done. Can you just imagine with being slashed, beaten up, lashed out 5 times. He received 39 strokes. Right? Can you just imagine he went through all that? But there are times that, you know, we understand there's a servant heart. Jesus gave us an example of what he did or his servantship is. John chapter 3, 13 verse 1 to 17. You go back and read. In the upper room, he did something. In the upper room, before he even suffered, just now we had the communion. Before he even suffered, after he has done that, he even went down, he took out his garment. You'll find, the gospel will speak, you go back and read, you'll find, they were arguing who was great among each other. There was an argument with Peter and John and other people. Hey, no, no, I'll be greater. Bible records it that there was an argument. Who was greater? And Jesus says, the son of perdition is inside here. Is it I? And I'll be greater and I'm not. It's not me. There was an argument. At that point of argument, the peak of argument that who is greater than another person, Jesus takes off his robe and he goes down on the knees and now washes the feet of every one of them. Can you just imagine? We argue in our church, we argue in a family, who is supposed to lead, what is supposed to be done. But if we forget, the work is not done. Because you know why? Servant heart was not there. Obedient heart was not there. So if we see a family which has got a heart of a servant heart, everyone will be different. Right? Different. Their heart will be different. I didn't mention that, you last time there is a servant heart. Yes, I said, this is not an example. How we behave in our church. Is it that we are master and the other person is a servant? Is it true? Is the wife the servant, the husband the master? Or nowadays some wives are masters and the husbands are servants? Which is which? No, it is not. It is not. At the end of the passage, I like that part where he talks about something, right? I'll see whether I can talk to you. He says, when servant heart, you must have a heart which is to give to everything to God. To not only serve him, he had a servant heart to serve others. And his words are very, very strong. Let's look at the words. John chapter 13. Most assuredly I say to you, verse 16, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do to them. Amen. So Jesus is asking a servant heart. A servant. Before that, he will talk to you about servants. What is servanthood? And he talks about servanthood that when he did everything what he has done at the time to wash the feet, and you will find that he says there is servanthood. Let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. There was this argument, right? Verse 25 onwards. There was an argument, the greatness of serving each other. And he says, called them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. You must underline if it is your own Bible, please. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This word actually also tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, you know what it says? Last time when you read, what did you read? Chapter 5 verse 121 to 33. What did he say? Husbands, he called on husbands, what did he say? Love your wife. Right. Not submit, love your wife. And then the wife, submit to the husband. Right, did he talk about it? Right. So we talked about submission, and submission is important. So it is always finding that, I did mention, there's a problem with man not loving the wives. So we have already covered that one earlier. So now I want to see, now who is greater? If you use the same passage now, the one who is supposed to become greater has to become a servant. Hello? How many of you give coffee or tea in the bed for your wife? Ayo, I'm going to have a problem today. Use the same passage now to see. So the woman is supposed to not be leadership. The man is supposed to be leadership.
So if we say that the man is now can go and give, if the, he is greater than the person, he is also serving the family. I know there are good husbands. I know many of them. They serve the wife too. As the wife serves them, they also serve the wife. I know them. I don't say that. But he says, it's not in the world. We are not in the world. It will not be like you. In the world, the people, they will have authority and they will become like, they will take, use the authority on you. But in the church, it is not so. Do you want to be greater in the kingdom of God? You have to serve. And he says you must become a slave. What is a slave? If you look, I preached about it. I remember many years back, maybe last year, 2 years ago, I preached about this very, very clearly. A slave means, a word slave means, what does a slave do? Slave cannot rebel. No rebellious spirit. A slave cannot eat first before the master eats. A slave cannot sit down when the master is sitting down. Hello? I didn't mention a slave. Why did Jesus use the word slave? Why is King James using? You go back to see the Hebrew word, the Greek word, you also find the same word. Why? He's given an example. Example. So that is why is there a lot of problem in the families, in the churches? It's because the rebellious spirit takes over. Alright? The rebellious spirit was in our forefathers. Remember, in Garden of Eden, we all going through this. Let's just quickly recapture. See, the man, when God asked him, what happened? Why did you do this? Why did you fall into sin? Why did you disobey me? No, the woman is the one who gave me. And then the woman, why Eve? Why did you do this? No, the serpent is the one who enticed me. So we tend to blame in everything in our life, in the family. No, it's because of the wife. It is because of the husband and everything. And at the end of the day, we start blaming each other. Who's supposed to lead? And the work is not done. The kingdom of God's word is not being preached. The kingdom of God's lifestyle is not being lived. The kingdom of God's ways and methodologies, thinking and the heart is not being exposed to the world. But what we do? We bring in the one with ordinances of the world and say this is the way. The world says no. No, we are people in the world. You know, we can make things happen. I was one of those, the words I can say, I-D-I-O-T-S or whatever. Who said that last time? Alright? Because we can make happen. We are the movers. We don't listen to all this nonsense. I don't take a no for an answer. Why? We're in the world. So what we do is that we bring in that one into the church. So that cannot happen. But Jesus said, you are not like that. Very clearly he says, you are not like that. In the world, the people will be like that. They'll take the authority and they'll bang on you. But in the world, you're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be a servant. A servant's heart is an obedient heart. When a master tells him, like, hey, can you serve this to me? He will be obedient to go and serve what he wants. If the chef, she's a cook, the chef in the house, and she's the one who's handling the thing, cooking in the house, and the master says, look, I want a soup today. A special soup. Just the same way Jacob cooked for his brother Esau. Where to go and find? He doesn't know Esau, first of all. He doesn't know Jacob. Right? He doesn't know what he cooked for him. So he has to do something. Is that right? He has to cook some soup that the master likes. So his servant heart means is without rebellion, but doing what your God is called for. During this time of correction in our life, slowly, there will be the spirit of rebellion go away in our life. The spirit of disobedience will go away in life. And the spirit of God of servanthood, meekness will come into our life. Amen? Amen. So that is why Paul is talking about things which is not that he didn't go through. He went through this. Remember, I did say yesterday, he waited 14 years. He came to know the Lord. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord appeared to him and in light, not in figure. He didn't know how Jesus looks like. A light came upon him. The word of God says the light was so bright, brighter than even the sun. And he came upon him. He was blinded. 3 days later, he had got his blindness taken away. And after that, for 14 years, he waited before he was launched into the ministry. Before Barnabas found him and brought him to Peter and said, now this man is not the man we know of. The old man has gone away. He's come a new man now. 14 years. Brothers and sisters, In that 14 years, God removed all those rebellious spirit inside him. Removed everything that was not right. Removed that rebellious spirit. Removed the murderous spirit. Remove the spirit which is going against antagonizing people. Every spirit was removed in 14 years. Paul took 14 years to loosen what he has learned for the last 30 years. Hello? So can you just imagine? God has got to deal with us. So he is talking, even after 14 years now I've gone through, I'm still going through the problem. Oh. Isn't that right? So we think that, no, we have already got everything right. I'm already perfect. No. God is still doing in us in our life. So he says, even at this time, after 14 years, I went through all these problems, physical and everything else, even whatever it has gone through, now I'm still going through the problems. Submission is a big problem for me. So he has to submit to the people. Because he was not a man who was submitted. He was in authority before. For a man who was in authority, for him to submit is difficult. How many of us want to submit? When you are in authority, every time you are all the time talking about, you know, authority, now you cannot, you don't talk about submission now. Brothers and sisters, a family is built on submission. A family is built on submission. If you submit in yourself, husband and wife submit to each other, the children will copy that. And can you just imagine the next generation will be better? And then they do better than what the parents have done, we have done, they do better than us. Right? They go another extra mile or 2 miles. You see, the next generation, how will they be like? If it goes on for the next 7 generations, I tell you this, you can see the Christ-likeness will be already there. So who are the cause of the people who are against people now in the world? And who are the people who are creating Christians, who are creating that Christ, the unlikeness of Christ? You and I, as a Christian, we are not doing that. We are really not doing that. Why? Because we are not in the place where God is asking us to do what he wants to do. Because we are against the spirit of rebellion of the word of God. Submission. Submission within husband and wife is important. It's not that a woman cannot be husband cannot submit to a wife, cannot submit. It's submission in the word it says is, submission for a Christian is love. You submit to the person not because of you want to submit to them. It is out of love of Christ that we submit to them. We sang the song just now. I was nothing, but he made us to be something. I was nobody, but he pulled me out because he died for me. It is out of love that he died. He didn't die of a hatred. He died because of love. Love for mankind. Submission, because he submitted to the Father. Even at the time of Garden of Eden, he went through that flesh that he has got. Every man has got that flesh. He went through that what man went through. That he has to now have got a problem with his flesh and his mind, with his heart. He's asking now, no, God, Father, take it away. Take this cup away from me. My spirit is willing because the spirit belongs to you. But the flesh is not willing. Why the flesh is the flesh which Adam had, a perfect flesh. It is now accumulated to be what it was supposed to be now in whatever we are feeling. It has gone through that kind of flesh. And Jesus has to take away all that flesh. The flesh is not willing. It is lusting for the things, rebelliousness, things that is not right. So Jesus had to say that at that time. He confessed it in the spirit. The flesh is not willing, Father. The flesh is not willing. The flesh means is our attitude. It's our life that we have accumulated. He said it once and for all. So we have to now go back and say how Paul says now. A perfect leader has got to have a servant heart. A heart, a leader in the house has got to be a servant heart. There are times in our family itself, we have got problems because there's no submission. There's no obedience. There's no talking to each other. And I stress this. And I pray people who are hearing this on wherever they are hearing it. I pray wherever they are, they'll be able to correct it. Once you've lost a family, you've lost everything else. I used to have a diary in my times. The first page itself, on the first, every year I'll write it out. You can lose your pride in everything. You can lose your money. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your pride among everybody else. You have lost everything when your children don't love you. I wrote it because I wrote it with my feelings. I wrote it with my hurts in my life. I wrote it with my injury, that hurt which is so bad inside my heart. I wrote it with my feelings. You can lose everything in the world. Wealth, money, everything else.
You can lose your pride, your dignity among people. Doesn't matter. But if you lost the love of your son or your children, you have lost everything else in the world. We are created to love. Not to love the world, but the love that comes out from us is to love another one. Amen. Praise God. So God is speaking to us today that effective leader, our leader, church leader at home, it's a hurt that we carry. Every one of us carry hurts in our life. Every one of us carry things in our life. I do carry. I say it to you all. I do carry things. But I overcome it because it takes time to overcome. But we work on it. We work on it. We work on it. And they surely will come to pass. Amen. 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 We have to work on it. There must be a kind of things that we have to put on our life. We have to put on our flesh. We have to ask the Spirit, be strengthened. Be strengthened in Christ. Be strengthened. Flesh, I tell you that today, you cannot take all control of me. My strength comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And my flesh shall abide in it. And my flesh shall abide in it. And my emotion shall abide in it. Amen. Amen. There has to be a submissive mind, an obedient heart. I can't go on too much because otherwise I'll go on and you'll not have the things. The third thing I want to talk about is this. An effective leader sees the big picture. An effective leader in a church, in a family. I ask families when they come for counseling, ask them, do you know what is your wife's goal, desires in this marriage? Wife, do you know the goal of your husband in this marriage? What is your goal for both of you to get married? We love, love, love. That's why I got married, love. I told her what I really love her, Rewar. On the day of the day I put the ring, I say, I love you. You don't expect love every day. Come on. In this, you have a vision. You have a dream. Not one person's dream, it's two person's dream. That's why submission comes. Love is submission. You have a dream. And you must have a purpose. You must see in everything, end of the day, see the picture you paint, both of you paint, and see the picture you have already painted for that future. In 10 years time, 20 years time, 30 years time, and when I'm growing old, what I will be? My children all gone on their own. They have gone and married themselves. What do I do with you and I? We are already old now. There's no more excitement. What do we do? Do you have the picture? Have you painted the picture? If both of you have agreed and painted a picture, then you are a good leader as a Christian. When you come to church, we do see a picture. What is the picture? Is it murmuring, grumbling? Or is the picture of Christ here? Is the picture of love of Christ here? If the leadership is not working in that Christ, talk. Pray for him. Pray for him. God slowly will change the heart. And see how God can see the picture we have in this church. Are we going to see today's things, what we are doing? Are we looking ahead of the church, what it should be? If we don't have that, they're not working towards Christ. An effective leader, an effective Christian leader, sees the bigger picture. Jesus was born in this world. He knows who he is. He gave away everything else into the Father and said, I give up everything, all power, I give it to you, Father. I go down as a man, nothing. But the Spirit of God was upon him. As the Spirit of God was upon him, he started walking in the Spirit of God. That is why Jesus was smart. Jesus said this, it's an architecture of our lives. He said this, I'm going away, but I will send you the Comforter, the one who will give you that person. So as he was being anointed by the Holy Spirit, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit when you receive the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ. And we walk in him. An effective leader will see the future, the big picture, not in the small things. If you spend so much of time in the small things, the big picture you cannot fulfill. Marriages break because of that small things. I'm telling you from my experience. It hurts. But it has to get hurt. A picture that you have ahead. I wish I was a Christian before. It hurts. We don't have the picture. We don't see the big picture. How do you want your children to be like? Many of us want us, all my children must be doctor because I'm doctor. I'm accountant because I'm accountant. The guy can't even do anything. My son, three sons, all of them are bad in maths. And in my school, I was the top in the maths. See the difference? I know a man called Handa, Anand Handa. He was the top actuary in the world. Top 10 actuary in the world. Intelligent man. OCBC today is built because of that man. If you know Tan Sin Chuan, Tan Sri Tan Sin Chuan, you go back and check. I'm telling because I know that person. And that man was the advisor for Tan Sri Tan Sin Chuan. He was one of the best mathematicians in the world. Top 10. You can see all those people. In the 80s, 70s, he was the top 10 in the world. But you see his son? Everything is a failure. Exam cannot pass. Why? So he wants him to become ex. So when he changed his mind, he changed his heart. Then he says, what is the best thing you can do? I will be with you. You saw the difference? What is the best thing he can do? I'll be with him. I have my sons. I wish they are following what I want to do. I want them to do. No. They have their own mind. So I can give them support for what they want. One wants to become a DJ. Not for a Christian world, but in the world the outside. Another one is following, the younger one is following like a brother. I want to be IT, but also I want to be DJ like, you know. Because the glamour of, you know, all the girls looking at you, DJing. It will take time for them to understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's time. Another one is a businessman. He looks at a business picture. It's very difficult to contain him now. His hands is everywhere. He doesn't know his father also put his hands everywhere. He burnt his finger. He doesn't listen. But you can't do that. You can only advise. See, what is the big picture you have in your life? What is the big picture you have in your family, husband and wife? What is the big picture? If you have the big picture, that will be the strength for you. The picture must be from Christ, not from yourself. It should be for Christ and glorifying Christ. Amen. The picture should not be about you. It's about whatever we do should glorify God. If we have that picture, then we know our life. And every time that we are stranded in our life, in our church, and every our leadership, we will know we big picture. What keeps me in this church is because God has given me a picture. And I hold that picture in my heart. I hold that capture, the thing in my mind. And I know it's the time come. It is not for me to run away now. It's the time will come. God will lead me out. God has got to do that. But until then, I cannot move. He's got a picture. There are challenges every time. He cannot move. Because, you know, there's a picture. The result that is given. That picture holds me on to what I am today. That picture holds you on to something else. That picture of your father and mother who were so close. My father and my mother. Although they quarreled, they even my father beat up. Used violence. There was understanding love. You cannot separate them away. You put one mother in one house and put the father in the other house. Where is my wife? My tea, she's moving. I don't have tea today, love. And the mother there said, just quarrel yesterday. And he said, I don't know what is he doing. Has he had his breakfast ready now? Hello, your son there said and daughter-in-law there said, I know. I don't know whether he had his coffee. He likes to have coffee early in the morning, you know. Can you just imagine? They have a picture to stay together until they die. They have a picture they should bury together. When my father died, she said, no, you must get a blot here. You must beside it. I don't want anywhere else. I don't care what you do. I want a plot beside him. It's a picture that keeps them together. In every circumstances they went through in your life, that picture. In our church leadership, we have already seen a picture. Our picture is in our mind and our heart. Is it for God to glorify God? Is that picture in our heart? What do you see a church to be like? What do you want the church to be like? How do you see the church to be like? How do you see the church to glorify God, not to be, Lord, condemned by God? How do you see that? That picture every church member should have. Then when you have that big picture, then the church will move forward in the Spirit of God. Because there's only one Christ. There is only one Father. There's only one Holy Spirit. And God is only one. Amen. You cannot get from somebody else. If he's the same one, he's moving here, he should have the same mind of ours. And our mind should be the same. Our heart should be the same. What is the big picture for this church? What is the big picture in your family? What is the big picture in your family, whatever you're doing in your life? What is the big picture you have in your work? What is the big picture you have in a ministry? Everything has got to come from God. If it comes from flesh, surely it will die halfway. Surely it will die. If this church has been built for a reason, if it is called by a pastor, old lady, he's got a picture that God has got. She didn't say, I don't know why I'm an old lady, 72 years, 75 years old, I'm opening up this church. I don't understand. I'm not the old lady, you know. Driving the car also slow now. Alright? But she has got a Sefiro, you know. Sefiro goes very slow. If you're behind her, probably I was one of the guys horning at her. Alright? But why? Why? The picture was given to her to open. She doesn't know you and I will be here. Do you see? She doesn't know so many marriages were came together which were supposed to split. She doesn't know so many deliverances are going to happen here. She doesn't know people are going to go out on mission. People are going to do something for exploits. She doesn't know there will be TVs here last time. There was nothing here. The big picture was given by God. Open a church. The church to glorify me. To glorify Him. Not to glorify the pastor. Not to glorify the leaders. But to glorify Him. So effective leader of a Christian, whether it's in a family, whether it's in a church, whether in the government, whether wherever you are, number one, what do you must have? Willing to pay a price. Effective leader has got to pay a price. An effective leader has got to have a servant heart, obedient heart. The rebellious spirit of the one which was in Adam's wife and Adam itself should go away from us. Then, the third one thing is, we must have a big picture in everything. In the world, you have a goal written every year, beginning of the year. Do you have a goal written or not? I don't know. I was taught in the world every year you must have the short-term goal, one-year goal, five-year goal, medium goal, and a long goal. And then we write up all those things. The long goal must be in sequence with the short-term goal. So what is your picture, end-line picture? They have to put up all those things. That is how the world trains. But Jesus says today, the picture I already have about you. I already have a picture of you. I already have a picture of you. Husband and wife. I already have a picture of you with your children. I already have a picture of your ministry. I've already got a picture of the church you go to. I've already got a picture of where you will be and where you'll be staying. I've got a picture of how many children you'll have. I've got a picture of you, how your children will rise up. I've got a picture how you should be, how you'd walk. I have a picture of you seeing me face to face in eternity. Until the day, we have to hold on to the picture of Jesus Christ. In our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. That keeps us going. That keeps us going. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. We just want to thank you for what you have said today, Father. And I pray, Father, even the Lord, even the words were shortened, Lord. And I pray, Lord, your spirit will speak to everyone here, Lord. It's your children, your saints, Lord. We are your saints. Touch us in the way that you want. Grant us, Lord, to be effective as you were effective. Grant us, Lord, as effective, Lord, even in leadership, Lord. We grant us, Lord, to be effective to pay the price that you paid the price. You're willing to pay the price. Grant us that spirit of obedience. Though you are the one who is the creator, but you came to the place where you created the things that you created. You came in the body of a man who was you, whom you created. And yet you obeyed the Father in heaven so that a man can obey and obedience. There was no rebellion in you at all. Even your ministry, Lord, everything was in order. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you have a picture. You have a goal when you came here. You have a picture that all of us will be together with you in eternity. We pray, Lord Jesus, that guide us. Guide us today. What is to be removed from us, remove from us. Including me, Lord. That, Lord, we can come humbly before you. If there is pride, remove that pride from me. Remove the pride. If there is, Lord, arrogance, remove that arrogance from me, Lord. Remove, Lord, the mind of rebellion. Remove the heart of rebellion. Remove the heart of disagreement. But, Lord, everything should be in agreement with you, Lord. Lord, we pray today. Everything of the flesh, we pray, Lord, you'll remove it, Lord. We pray and ask of your mercy and your grace that we move forward so that we shall be the light. Wherever we walk, Lord, that we shall bring the glory. But in your glory, Lord, even demons will flee. We thank you, Father. Let it be done according to your word in this church. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Glory to God.